Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Is January Jones. She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. It's such an exciting time of the year, isn't it, as we're getting ready for Christmas and the holidays. As you can see, the glitter granny, I'm going full bling today. This hat just is a hoot because I wore it to the supermarket this week, and I had four people come up to me and ask me where I got my hat and tell me how much they loved it. And then, of course, I had another six people ask me where I got my dog and how much they loved her. It's been a fun week. Now for my listeners, let me ask you a question. Have you ever wished you could communicate with a dear one who has died? Yeah, I think we think about them a lot, don't we? Would you like to learn more about what it's like to communicate with people who have passed on? Well, I'm going to share with you today that I actually had an interesting experience this past week. One of my daughters gave me the gift of a session with a gal here in Sarasota who can communicate, and it was quite amazing. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to hear from people on the other side? Do you wish you could meet someone who could help you to reach out to the world beyond? Are you ready to make some big changes in your life? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So now it's time for you to rest, relax, go get some wine, get some cheese. This time of year, if you're in the north, get a cup of hot cocoa. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. She has a BS in journalism, and she is the author of Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. Yes, you heard me right. She is the author of Tips from Your Property Shopper, so that ought to be interesting too. She is a teacher of transcendental meditation, and she was a manager of a rock band for 12 years. Author, public speaker, artist, it's my pleasure to welcome back to our show again today, Margo Lindmark. Hi, Margo. How are you doing?
I'm great, January. It's so nice to see you again. I'm so happy to be back.
Oh, wonderful. And tell me, how are you doing with the holidays? How are things going for you at your end of the world?
Everything is going great, except there's one thing missing that I need. I need your hat. You know I manage a rock band. You know I need that hat.
Yeah, this would be just perfect for you, sweetie. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just started, as you know, going with this brand, the Glitter Granny, and all of a sudden, all this glitter seems to be falling into my life. As I showed you before we went on the air, I even have a glitter drink.
I'm jealous.
I don't have it with me here, but I have a glitter cane. Actually, I have several of those. So
wow.
I'll share those later.
You rock, January.
Well, I'm trying to do my best. So what have you been up to these days, dear?
I've been up to something kind of interesting. I just bought a house in Maine, and I'm going to go up there in the winter, which I don't like cold weather, but I'm going to go up there and paint. I'm going to get away from real estate a little bit, and not to retire, but just to go up there while it's cold and there's no real estate selling, and just take it a whole different lifestyle and just go inward and paint and see what comes out of it.
Okay.
So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah. For our listeners, tell them where you are now.
Right now I'm in North Carolina. I live on this little mountaintop in Boone. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I sell so much real estate here, because it's a gorgeous place. Uh-huh. And, but I'm going to just have a second little vacation home in Bucksport, Maine.
That sounds like a fantasy thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's going to be fun. That's what I've been up to.
Okay. Well, you've been on the show before, and I love talking to you. And since we had you on last time, as I shared earlier, I had a session with someone here in Sarasota. She hasn't written a book, so I haven't invited her on the show, but I'm urging her to write a book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was quite amazing, and it was quite a positive thing. I actually reconnected with people from my past who have passed on, and I came out of it with just such a positive experience. Good messages, healthy messages, constructive things. And is that your experience when you're communicating with others who have passed on?
Yeah, for sure. There is nothing like it, because that person obviously isn't in the physical body anymore. You can't talk to them. And when they come to you and you communicate with them, it's the most incredible experience. One of the most incredible experiences you can have, I think, because you actually did communicate with that person. And it's actually January. And I don't know, I want to hear what your experience was, but my experience was, it was exactly like talking to that person in physical form, except they weren't in the physical body, but everything else about it was the same. Their personality, their hug, it's really something. It's the most beautiful thing you can experience. And it also just really, it just proves to you that people don't die. They're still there because you literally talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting, because with my session, I tried to say very little. I only did confirmation. And of course, the first person who shows up, one of the first people, was my mother. And of course, my mother was her whole life, she was a tap dancer and loved dancing. And of course, the first thing she shows up with is tap shoes. So here we go. So that was quite an extraordinary confirmation for me, to have the tap shoes and the dancing be a big part. When was the first time you were able to communicate with someone from the other side?
Oh, the very first time, I was in college. So what was I, 20 or something like that?
Young, yeah.
And that was really an incredible experience, because, you know, I was kind of younger, you know, and I wasn't used to that experience. And we were at his funeral. This was my fiance's funeral. We were at the funeral. Yeah. And wow. She was right here with me. And it was, people would say to me, boy, it's like he's talking through you. And I said, yeah, he's here. I know, I can tell you what he's saying, you know.
Uh-huh.
And during the funeral, when the minister was talking about the the death and he's gone and everything. I remember debating whether I should stand up at the funeral and say, no, he's not. No, he's not here. You know, and I thought, well, they're going to think I'm crazy. I can't do this, you know. But it was really, really clear. And I didn't do it. I was good. But it was a very clear experience also.
Yeah,
it was an experience of how you don't die.
Yeah. You know? And you know, it was vibrant and it was very positive. Very positive. Mm-hmm.
Did she have a message for you? Did your mother have a message for you?
Oh, yeah. I got several messages. Right now we're going to have a message about my book. And if you are a whiner or know someone who is a whiner, this would be the perfect gift to give them for Christmas.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with Margo Lennox, my guest today. And she is someone who's been on the show before, and she's becoming a dear friend to the show. We're happy to have you, Margo. And before we go on, could you share your contact info and tell our listeners how they can get your book, your wonderful book, and how they can contact you?
Yes. They can get my book on Amazon. It's probably the easiest way. Or they can go to my website, lightinthemorning.com, and that's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Those are probably the best ways to get it, the only ways. you can contact me. If you Google me, you will find me, Margo Lenmark. And people have. They've called me. You know, I'm a realtor, so my number is very available, and they've called me and grieved with me. And I've made a lot of good friends by doing that. It's been quite a wonderful experience.
And are you available if someone would like to have a reading with you?
Absolutely. Yeah. It wouldn't be as much of a it might become a reading. I don't know, because I don't have control over when people come to me. They come to me, you know, and it happens, and it's just incredible. So I don't know what would happen. And I wouldn't charge anybody. I don't even do that for a living, but I would certainly talk to them about their experience, and we could see what happens. I'm happy to do that. Thank you so much for contacting me.
Okay. Because I think sometimes a lot of people are a little reluctant or a little shy, or it's a little scary
that
you're doing this. And I think you don't really experience it until you actually get some confirmation when you're doing it. You know, if you get some confirmation, and actually if they don't know you, if they've never heard of you, never seen of you, and then there's a confirmation that you can realize and accept, it's quite an incredible experience, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I do. That's why I say I think it's the most extraordinary experience that we can experience as alive humans is to communicate with someone who is no longer alive in the physical. It really opens up your awareness. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying, now that, you know, people know you're able to do that, do people approach you a lot or to ask you to do it for them? Or how does this play out in your life?
Yeah, a lot. They haven't asked me to do it for them, and I don't know that I can, but a lot of people have called me and said, you know, my cat just died. Can I talk to you? And we end up talking for an hour or so, and it's just so moving. And I had somebody come up to me a couple of weeks ago with 19 books. She said, I'm sending it to all my friends. Will you sign them all? And I signed all 19 books, you know. And
wow.
Yeah. So they've really gotten a lot out of the book, and it really makes me so happy, January, because when I wrote the book, I thought, if this helps one person, I will be fulfilled. But apparently it's quite a few people. And so it makes me really happy that I can contribute.
Yeah, it's a wonderful book. And it's a book that I have read. And I would say to anyone who, if you know someone who has had a loss or is going through a difficult time, this book is a book that helps with healing. Mm-hmm. So and read this book that Margot wrote and shared, and it helps them heal. And I think it would be a wonderful, thoughtful gift to give people for the holidays, because the holidays are especially difficult. Don't you agree, Margot?
Yes. The holidays bring up all the memories and all the emotions. And you know, there's a lot of things you can do around the holiday too. You know, you can build a little cute or sweet, or it doesn't have to be a big deal, memorial, you know, on your table or somewhere, or just a little memory station somehow. And, or you can tell stories around the table, and it really brings those people in. You can feel them there when you do that. It's, as you know, you just experience it. It's very powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is incredibly powerful. And I was almost, you know, like as they entered the room to say what they have to say, it was overwhelming, actually. And then I was thinking, for the holidays, it would be an interesting thought to set a chair at the family table where you're all gathered and leave one chair empty.
Yes.
And it would be interesting to, when you say your blessing, to invite other people, past parts of the family, to join. And I would think it would be kind of amazing to see what kind of a communication they could develop with other
people. Oh, I think so too. And I think what would be really interesting is for the people around the table, because for some of them it's going to be weird. But I think it would be interesting to see what comes out of it, what they would say to that chair, what they would say to that person in the chair. It could be just a really beautiful, cathartic thing. I think that's a great idea.
Well, you know what? Guess what?
At my table.
I just came up with it talking to you.
Good thinking. That was good thinking. I like that idea. I like it a lot.
I think this glitter hat is just amazing. It's actually making me kind of bright.
You know, next time we talk, I'm going to have one, and our ideas will be incredible. We'll be good.
Well, okay. And now next year we're approaching, this was very hard for everyone to believe, especially me. We're approaching the 60th anniversary of the John Kennedy assassination. And if you ever wondered who killed Kennedy, who had the motive, the means, and the money, you might be interested in reading some of my books.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back with my guest, Margo Lenmach, the brilliant author of Light in the Morning. And morning is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, rather than typical morning. That's a brilliant title. How did you come up with that?
My brother helped me with that. I had a lot of different titles. And the first title was Deathbed Confessions, because I thought, and I thought, this is not what you think it is. This is not the story of somebody on their deathbed who, and somebody told me you can't have that as a title. But I thought, you know, it's like people's face in death gives you a message. That's one of the ways you get a message from somebody. And I thought, that's really cool. It's a deathbed confession. And then my brother said, Light in the Morning. And I went, oh, it's so positive. And it's wonderful. The only thing I would have changed on that title, January, now that you've read it, you might agree. I started out putting Revelations of an Undertaker's Daughter, because these were revelations.
Yeah.
And my publisher said, you can't do that. You can't use Revelations. It's too biblical. But I shouldn't always listen to people, because I think it's a better title. It says it better. So anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you a book title story, which is a funny story, because when I started writing my book, Thou Shalt Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, the first title was Dying Without Whining, which I positively loved. Everyone said, no, you're not going to throw dying into your title with whining. So it never made it to the actual book cover. But
that might be my next title. That'd be a good one for me.
Well, you can have it, kiddo, because no one let me use it. It's all yours. When I was reading your book, you had some incredible chapters that really touched my heart and soul. One chapter, what you started out with, is you write about death is not dead. And that's an interesting concept, because so many people, when confronted with death, feel it's so final, it's so done, it's so over. And you're telling us in your book, it doesn't mean you're dead.
That's right. And that is kind of that's one of the points of the book. You know, I mean, I end with that sentence too, you know, because, you might remember the story of my brother when I went on that shamanic journey to find him. And it was just the most, I just cry thinking about it. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he came to me in a dream. There were several episodes of my brother. And one time he came to me in a dream, and it was a real dream. He came to me. I said, Mike, what are you doing here? We just buried you. You know, that kind of a thing. And he goes like that. He goes, I didn't die. You know, I didn't die. And it was really interesting, because he didn't, you know. And then I went on that shamanic journey and I found him. And sure enough, there he is, live and well, you know.
Yeah.
And so all of these experiences led to that. But the death is not dead. That came from that experience in college when he was talking to me during the funeral, when we were looking at him in the casket. He wasn't there, you know.
Yeah.
That's when you realize that death is not dead.
Mm-hmm. What
because it's true.
Yeah, what a powerful message that is.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what prompted your chapter, The Miracle Pie. I love
That's so incredible. What happened was a really close friend of mine died of cancer. And after he died, a really kind of enlightened, wise person, friend of ours, said, you should have the memorial service 10 days after they die, because the body is more processed and the soul will be there. That person will actually be there, present.
Mm-hmm.
We'd already done the memorial service. We did it 5 days after he died. So 10 days after he died, we decided to have this party. And 17 of his closest friends were at this dinner party. And there were 17 people in the main dining room and 5 people in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And we could feel Tom there. We could feel him.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all telling stories about Tom. It was really fun and funny. And sad and all of the emotions. And at one point, the host of the party, his girlfriend, Anne, comes over and she has 17 plates and puts them on the table. And then she brings this little piece, this little pie in a little tin.
Uh-huh.
It's an apple crumbly pie. And she said, Deborah brought pie. And she puts the pie down. Well, with that crumbly pie, you can only cut 6 pieces. And there's 17 plates and 17 people. So we were at the big table where she put this. And everybody around me, Deborah, me, Mac, all of our friends said, I'm not having pie. I'm not having pie. And we realized that the only people having the pie were the people in the kitchen because there's 6 pieces and there's 5 people out there and we weren't going to get pie and that was fine. So,
yeah. So
Deborah and I start cutting this pie, putting it on the plate, adding a fork, passing it down, telling stories, putting another, passing it down with the pie, pass it down. And we're telling Tom's stories and we're going like this. And then all of a sudden we're just passing it along and somebody from the kitchen says, we all got pie. And I looked around and the kitchen all had pie. We all had pie. And it was a great big piece of pie that could be cut one more time for Deborah and me.
Oh, wow. Wow. I love that story.
Ah, we looked at each other and we went, loaves and fishes. It was incredulous.
Yeah.
So somebody said, Margaret, tell this one story about Tom. And I started telling it and I just burst out laughing. I put my head on the table. I said, wait a minute, you guys realize we all have pie? You see what just happened? You know, it was just incredible. And that night, and somebody comes from the kitchen and they come out there and they go, oh, wow, it was a miracle pie. And that's what she said. And I realized that miracles happen when you're not looking because we were all distracted serving the pie, telling stories and doing all this stuff. And it was incredible. And that night, before I went to bed, I called Deborah and I